Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 3 and John chapter 6. Exodus chapter 3 and John chapter 6. If you were here in the last 2 weeks, as you look around our auditorium, do you notice anything that's changed from last week to this week? Someone's mentioned the flower arrangement has changed. The banners have flip-flopped. Yeah, how many of you notice that the banners have changed? They're still the same ones that were up a couple weeks ago, but now they've gone to the other side. Some people are very observant. Others sometimes go into a room and they go out and they don't really notice a whole lot of difference in things that may have changed. Has America changed over the last few weeks, last few months, last few years? Has it changed for the better? We could all say, wow, we'd like to see things go back to the way they were. Why has America changed so much? It's because our citizenship has changed. You say, well, what has happened? Reports are now out that 67% of Americans, 67% of Americans don't attend church. That's, they don't attend church. No church. Does that give you a good reason as to why America has changed? If 60% of Americans don't attend church, they have no idea what it means to worship a God other than money, sports, power, looks. So if 67% of Americans are not attending church at all, what's the percentage that are attending? 33%. Of that 33%, how many of them are just going to churches that are entertainment centers? Probably 20%. Do you realize that in every denomination, be it Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Catholic, the numbers are down in attendance? What is happening in America is we have forgotten God. Does that bother you? It should bother all of us. We are seeing what is happening in our country because God has been forgotten. Let me ask you this question. How many people in our country today have no problem with the thought that evolution is no longer a theory, but is a fact? Now you say, Pastor Paul, did you say evolution is a fact? No, I didn't say evolution is a fact. Evolution is a lie. There is no truth in evolution. In fact, if you look at evolution, it is a contradiction right from the start. But see, if you don't have a God, then you have to figure out how we got here. And see, this is what is happening when you remove God, you replace it with something else. And we have replaced it with trash. It's amazing how many Americans are not bothered by what is going on in our country. In a moment, we're going to be looking at some of the I ams of the book of John. But part of that I am, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many people today are willing to believe a lie? Unfortunately, the majority of us are willing to believe a lie. The book of Exodus chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this portion of scriptures that tells us of the conversation between Moses and the Lord, and how that the Lord is going to instruct Moses in what to do. Lord, may we take your instructions, may we take the word of God and use it that we may see great and marvelous things. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am. The sacred name is derived from the verb to be. How do you prove God? Well, you can't prove God. He simply is. Now, I must admit, if you look at the human body and how it is designed, you know that evolution didn't bring it to this point. It was a divine design. It is the eternal name of God. I was and I will be. He is the eternal being. Zondervan's Bible Dictionary writes, I am implies that God is eternal. Before Abraham was, I am. And that he is absolute, i.e. the uncaused one. The name Jehovah belongs especially to him when he is dealing with his own, while God is used more when dealing with the Gentiles. So when Jesus said to those people during the time that he walked in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, when he said, I am, he was saying, I am God. And they could do the same thing that you can. You can either accept the fact that he is God, or you can deny the fact that he is God. Take your Bibles, as I said, to the book of John chapter 6 and verse 35. It is the first of the seven I ams that Jesus said that he was. We know he said, I am the bread of life. And we'll read that right here in John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We are talking about in a spiritual substance, he is all that satisfies. If we are trying to be satisfied with what the world offers, we are going to be disappointed. We are going to walk around wondering, why am I not satisfied? Because the world cannot satisfy us. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. The world continually tries to put out the light of Christ. They want to shut down Christianity. They think they'll be happier when Christianity is removed because we are a thorn in their side. We are a bother to them. Because when you are doing that which is godly, you are offending those who are not godly. And may I say this, the guilty always are trying to make those who are not guilty feel guilty. And they are guilty because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the door of the sheep. Take your Bibles here, if you would, please, to the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And it says in verse 7, John 10, verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Up in verse 1 of this chapter, notice it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. It is so popular today for someone to say, well, there are many ways to heaven. Why would God make many ways to heaven? He only needs to make one way to heaven. And that one way is Jesus Christ. You say, well, you're narrow. Absolutely, I'm narrow. I'm this narrow. This is what the Bible says. You say, well, the other people believe other ways. Yes, isn't that sad? May I say this, the evil one has corrupted our thoughts about God. God cannot be put in a box. God has a way. That way is Jesus Christ. He has a door. That door is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. And we begin with number 4 that we began last week. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. How many of you would agree that there are doctors and then there are doctors? Yes? You know, have you ever gotten a second opinion? Why did you get that second opinion? Is because you thought the first doctor may not be right. So you went and got a second opinion. How many of you believe there are mechanics and there are mechanics? Let me give you an example. My wife and I used to own a very nice looking Oldsmobile station wagon. It had been used in an auto show and we had gotten it as a used car. It had 35 miles on it. It was sold as a used car and so we got a really good deal and it was a really nice car. I mean, people would look at it and say, wow, we like that car. It was black. Oh, it was good looking, wasn't it? I tell you what, it was great looking. Almost as good looking as you. Well, maybe not quite. It had a problem. It would just stop. You know, that was a bad thing. You'd be coming off Rochester Road onto the ramp onto M53, and all of a sudden it was just a... That's not a good thing. You're accelerating to get on the freeway, and suddenly there is nothing. You'd pull over, call a tow truck, take it over to the dealership. They looked at it. It won't do it for us. Don't you hate that? It won't do it for us. We go get the car. We're about halfway home. It did it again. Took it back. Well, we'll look at it again. Kept it 7 days. I don't think they ever got in the car one time. It's not doing it for us. We went and got it. drove it a few days, died. We waited, I don't know, finally we drove it back to the dealership. We pulled into the garage. At that very moment, one of the top troubleshooters for GM walked into the garage. The guy looked at me, goes, "What's your problem?" I'm thinking, "Who are you?" I said, "It stops." He goes, "For no reason at all. For no reason at all." He called over a mechanic. He says, "Go and get this and put it on right now." We never had a problem again. There are mechanics, and there are what? Mechanics, yes. You know, we find that in life there are those who talk about knowing things, and there are those who know things. How about teachers? We got some teachers here today. Kelly, are you glad for the summer break? Yes. I saw this post of a teacher running out of the school building. I thought that was great. She was ahead of the kids. Yes. But I know this. When I was in school, there were teachers and there were teachers. We had a teacher. I was in the 11th grade. He made it one day. One day. I don't know what happened. All I know is we got a new teacher on the second day, and we asked where this other teacher was, and they said, "Well, he won't be returning." Maybe 11th graders intimidated him. They'd intimidate me. But there are teachers and there are teachers. May I say this? There are preachers and then there are preachers. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. I've heard some really good preachers. In fact, I think, man, if I lived near their church, I'd go there too. There are preachers. You know, I'm going to say this. There are shepherds and there are shepherds. And then there is the good shepherd. There is the good shepherd. Verse 10 of chapter 10 of the book of John. You there? John 10:10. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Who is this thief? It's Satan. It's the dragon. It's the serpent. It's that which is wrong in our society. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Our Lord wants to give us life. I've heard this, "Oh, you Christians, you can't have any fun." You know what I have found is a lot of things that the world calls fun oftentimes lead to destruction. It leads to things that are detrimental. Notice it says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Did Jesus Christ give his life? He gave his life for the sheep, didn't he? He gave his life that we might have eternal life. Verse 12 says, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep," notice, "and am known of mine." He knows them and they know him. Do you know the good shepherd? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm not saying have you gone to church all your life. I'm not saying have you been sprinkled or have you been baptized. I'm not saying have you memorized Psalm 23. I'm saying do you know the shepherd? Is he your Savior? Have you come to him and asked him for forgiveness? Have you come and asked him to be your Lord? Verse 15, "As the Lord knoweth me, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, the Gentiles. He's talking to Jews, but he says, I have other sheep who are not of this fold. Aren't you glad that we are those other sheep? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ was willing to die for you? I'm glad he was willing to die for me. He's the good shepherd. He knows the need. He does take us where we need to go to be providing for us. Verse 15 says, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There will be one shepherd. Who is the shepherd? Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd. He is the way. He is the one and only. If I am the evil one, if I am Lucifer, I am going to put out counterfeit ways. I'm going to put out things that will send us in different directions. World War II. The British are wondering when the Germans are going to attack. Have you ever pondered this? The Lord is in control of things. Now, I don't know how many of you are World War II buffs, but German forces lined up across the channel from the British. The British had, at one point in time, one machine gun per mile to defend their coast. One machine gun per mile. The Germans had, at that point in time, one of the strongest armies in the world. They could have come across the channel. They could have wiped out England that quick. But they didn't go. They didn't go. You ever wonder about that? When they thought the Germans were coming, they took their road signs and pointed them in different directions. So that if the Germans came and invaded, they wouldn't be able to know where they were going because all the road signs were changed. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, confuse them. What does Satan try to do? Confuse us. What do you think evolution's all about? Confusing us. Oh, can we really be confused if you're studying the Word of God? No. But are we studying the Word of God? We are confused. Our culture is confused. Our society is confused. We are thinking that we know better. Did you read what the sign said when you came in the building? Woe unto them that call good evil and call evil good. It's what we have in our society today. We want to call evil good because man says we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We may hurt their self-esteem. Oh, the poor things. Well, the fact of the matter, if you're doing wrong, you're wrong. There's no right way to do wrong. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the one that has provided the way. I am the shepherd. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. When Jesus Christ came to Jerusalem at that Passover time, he knew he was going to die. It was not a mistake. He had come to die. He had come to be that sacrifice. Says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus in this discourse not only says that he is the door to the sheepfold, but he is also the shepherd that leads us to that door. And I'm glad that he did not just die for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. Number five in the I Am's, I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 11, we'll just begin an introduction of this one. I am the resurrection and the life. chapter 11, verse 25. You know the story. There is a dear friend of Jesus. His name is Lazarus. Lazarus has two sisters. What are their names? Mary and Martha. How come we always say Mary and Martha? We don't say Martha and Mary. You ever wonder about those things? But we find that Mary and Martha are his sisters. Lazarus is very sick. In fact, he is sick unto death. A message has been sent to Jesus that his friend lies at the point of death. And Jesus knows he could go and he could heal Lazarus. But he waits. He waits for Lazarus to die. Because he wants to show them that he has power over death. And so he goes. And as he's approaching the city there of Bethany, they tell Martha that Jesus is coming. And she can't wait for him to get to the house. So she runs out to meet him. And they begin to talk back and forth. And in verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus comes on the fourth day. There's no doubt that he is dead. There is weeping, there is wailing. They would have people that were paid to come and weep and to wail. The family would show up and they would show their grief. And now the city begins to mourn with the family. And Jesus is taking them out to the graveyard so that he can see where they have buried him. But before this, Jesus tells Martha, number one, to believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Number two, to have faith. It's one thing to believe, it's another thing to have faith. Do you have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And number three, to acknowledge that Jesus truly is God and that he has power over death. Now, all of us are going to die physically. One out of one dies. Would you agree with that statement? One out of one dies. Given enough time, yours truly is going to die. My wife says I can't die until after she dies. So I presume that before I die, she's going to die. Which she says is not going to be for a long time. Yes. But there's that second death. In the beginning, God did not create a hell for man. Hell was created for the devil and the angels. But because Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit, and Adam was blamed for this, man dies. Sin brings death. And because of sin, hell becomes the home of those who never accept Christ as their Savior. How important it is that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I am the resurrection and the life. Shall we stand together? Do you believe it when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life? Do you believe it when he says, I am the good shepherd? Do you believe it when he says, I am the door? Do you believe it when he says, I am the light and I am the bread of life? Do you believe this, or is this just some church story and it sounds good when we're here? But what about when you leave here? Do you believe he is the great I am? That he is God and he died for you? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time. And as the song is sung and as people are praying, we ask, Lord, that the Spirit would move and touch hearts. We pray, Lord, for that soul that is nearest hell right now, that has never accepted thee as Savior. May they do it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.